Our final presenter is Dr. William Schlanger from Duke University Medical Center. He's done very important research on use of the internet to understand trauma and disaster-related responses. He'll be speaking about practical considerations in the use of the internet and disaster research.
Thank you, David, and thank you to Alain Brunet and his colleagues for giving us this opportunity to spend a few days talking about these important topics. Oh, we got to do something about this, don't we? While they're doing this, I will confirm that I have no conflict of interest in giving this. It's that one, isn't it? Okay, so the topic is practical considerations in the use of the internet in post-trauma research. I thought this would fit well with the other presentations. I am speaking on Saturday morning also, and we'll address more directly there some of the scientific issues. So the question that I want to answer is, why is it difficult to study large-scale potentially traumatic events? And I motivate that by looking at two particular events, the September 11th attacks on New York City and Washington, D.C., and then Hurricane Katrina. So some of the reasons why it's so hard include that community-based research via traditional methods is labor-intensive, and therefore it's expensive, so that's a problem. Review and approval processes for most funding sources are not compatible with the need for rapid response. That is, when a large-scale traumatic event happens, you need to be out there studying it, not writing a grant application and waiting for 6 months or blah, blah, blah. Additionally, some of the human subjects protections mechanisms that exist in the U.S. and I presume elsewhere as well are anxious about the potential impact of such studies on subjects, unrealistically speaking, most of the time. And the fourth one, and probably the most important one, is this extensive infrastructure damage that goes along with these kinds of events. Okay, so characteristics of these events that create barriers to actually studying them are they occur with little or no warning. They create widespread fear and uncertainty. They create substantial infrastructure damage, and they have important health and mental health consequences for those directly exposed and for some who are not directly exposed. So I want to look at two specific ones very quickly that may help us understand what some of these problems are. In September 11th, you all remember a massive, visually spectacular destruction at the World Trade Center and all these other characteristics as well. The point I wanted to make, and again, I'm focused on epidemiologic studies here, one of the characteristics of the September 11th attacks is that the findings from four major epidemiologic studies using probability samples were published in top-tier journals within the 12 months of the event itself. That's two papers in JAMA and two papers in New England Journal within 12 months. That's the speed of light relative to the prior literature. All four of those used either random digit dialing or internet-based methods, and all used screening instruments to assess PTSD. Subsequently, there's been a number of other studies as well, including some that are longitudinal, so that's good. The two studies that used internet-based methods implemented or studied samples that had already been recruited beforehand. That's an excellent way to do these kind of studies, but it's potentially quite expensive. There is one research firm in the U.S. that maintains a panel that can be used this way. There is currently another study going on building a different kind of panel, but that's one way to get out and assessing quickly. Let me switch through this. Oops, I did it again. I got it. So the point there is the internet is useful here in situations like September 11th, and one of the reasons why it is that although there was widespread physical damage in New York City, it was contained in a relatively small area.
Oops.
And so internet access was not badly interfered with. So let's compare that with the situation with Hurricane Katrina, in which everybody knows this, the high winds, the water, the et cetera, the massive relocation of people away from New Orleans and the Mississippi coast, job loss, loss of social and other support systems, uncertainty about the future, et cetera. 1,600 people died, estimates as high as $100 billion of the rebuilding. But this is the issue with studying Katrina. This is a map of the United States, and it's probably hard to read the scale on the right-hand side, but all of the places that are in gray or everything but white represent places where people, the nearly 800,000 people who were evacuated from New Orleans and the Mississippi coast, this is where they went to. Some voluntarily, some sent because they had no housing in New Orleans or Mississippi. You only have to look very quickly at this to understand how difficult it would be to study the impact of this event on the population of that area. They're not there anymore, or a substantial portion of them are not there anymore. They're very hard to find. So in this kind of instance, I think that the internet is going to be much less helpful in studies than it was in New York, where the damage was, although extensive, was geographically contained. And for this and other reasons, actually, there are very few studies about the impact of Katrina that are published to date. I'm only aware of about seven or eight of them, and they're relatively limited. Almost all of the studies either used multiple sampling frames, or they were convenient samples of people being treated, or something. So of less, they're important studies, but they're of less value to the epidemiology of it. I have done it again. Sorry? Okay. Okay, so that basically the point I wanted to make was that simple one, that the internet is going to be very helpful in the study of some kinds of these kind of traumatic events, and maybe less in others. And the point that comes to is the wave of the future in these kind of studies and virtually all survey research is the use of multiple modalities. So instead of having a telephone survey or an internet survey or a mail survey or a whatever survey, the wave of the future is surveys are going to have to offer participants multiple ways of responding. You may be aware of the fact that one reason for this is that over the past 10 to 20 years, response rates in probability samples have dropped drastically. And the notion of multiple modes in surveys is one of many approaches to try to deal with that problem. So the wave of the future is, if you want to study a large-scale traumatic event, have a grant application in your pocket, and it's going to be for a large amount of money, and have the ability to do assessments in multiple modes. And I think, given the time, I'll stop there.